Welcome to the Dirty Water News Fantasy Football Show.
Hello, welcome to the Dirty Water News Fantasy Football Show. Man, it has been long. It has been a long time, about 2 weeks. I'm your host, Nick Lessigore. You can follow me on Twitter, at Nick Lessigore. Alongside me, my co-host, at Rob Gomes. You can follow him on Twitter, at Bobby Gomes DFS. 49 degrees at 12:02. Rob, 2 weeks has it been?
Yeah, it's been a couple weeks, but we're back on and we're rolling right now.
How was your two-week hiatus? How was it?
I had crazy. It was an absolutely insane 2 weeks, but not as crazy as Ray Lewis on ESPN this morning, I tell you that much.
Yeah, that guy is out of his mind. Actually, was it yesterday? Was it today yesterday?
It might have been.
It was one of those days.
I seen it today, and I was just like flabbergasted at basically his attitude towards like life in general at this point. Like he's kind of nuts, you know.
Yeah, he's not of sound mind, it would seem. I think maybe a few too many hits to the head.
Yeah, a couple of concussions later, and I don't know. He's lost it. Yeah. He's gone with the wind.
Today we're going to cover week 7. We had a couple weeks off. Hopefully you guys are still hanging with us. Over the course of the past 2 weeks, your boy got this seems to be a running theme with the show in terms of haircuts and whatnot, but your boy for the first time in his 28-year life went to a barber shop, not a salon or you know, I didn't have a female cut.
You
got to
stop telling people this stuff.
Why is that weird?
Kinda.
Then I went to a barbershop.
You've
for the
never
first
been
time?
To a barbershop before. This is news to me.
Well, here's the thing you got to understand is you grew up in the city. You know, they have things like that. There aren't many barbershops around the old burbs.
No, not none at all. Like none in your neighborhood.
There's
like
one now, and the guys over at Yankee Clipper in Plymouth did an amazing job. It would seem as though they give you like when you go to a barbershop, they give you like the little extra things. Like when the guy was trimming my sideburns, he took a little bit of aftershave or whatever. You know, dabbed it on each side, went around the back of my head with the aftershave. You know what I mean?
Like, I guess whatever.
They don't do that
fancy
at salons.
No, I would be.
It's little things.
For me, I feel like they would do that at salons, though.
I've never had that done to me before. So then your boy got the straight razor shave. Have you ever had one of those?
Yeah, no, those are nice. Those are nice. I like those.
Dude, listen. I felt like a character in Mad Men.
The hot shaving cream?
Yeah.
Oh,
it was amazing.
Good.
They built up the lather. Yeah, the guy.
Show.
Yeah. He graduated Marshfield High School a couple of years before me. And he had the like I said, I felt like Don Draper from Mad Men, you know, like 1960s.
Yeah.
He put the back of the chair on, you know, screwed it on real quick, tilted me back, had the old straight razor shave action. I'm not going to lie to you.
That's a five-star treatment.
Listen. I'm a simple man.
Yeah,
I'm not a man of many. Right. It's the little things. It cost $50 with a tip, which was I thought was a little on the pricier end, but it was worth every penny.
$50 for the shave and haircut.
Yeah, and I gave him a $10 tip. It was worth every penny. Yankee Clipper, right on the edge of Marshfield in Pembroke. That's specifically, you know, for the people listening in Rockland. If you guys go down there, awesome. A little pricey in terms of, but the service was worth every penny. So
yeah,
it was pretty amazing.
Oh, that's solid.
Yeah, it was
happy
awesome.
For you. You got a nice haircut.
It's good. Looking pretty good. All right. Before we get way off topic with the hair, why don't we hit the front page?
Flash exclusive. Here's front page news.
Negotiations,
contract extensions,
National Football League draft.
Free agents.
How's your fantasy team looking this year?
Fantasy football.
The front page.
Thursday night football was amazingly boring after the first half.
Well, to be honest, I feel like a lot of these Thursday night football games are at this point. A lot of these have been for a while. Yeah, they have been.
This isn't new
to this season, even though this season the kind of gameplay in this league I feel like has been down. But
I would tend to agree with that. Yeah, it would seem as though not as many points scored. I mean, defenses seem to be stepping up a little bit. But in terms of this game specifically, just some takeaways that we have. Russell Wilson had 11 fantasy points. In the first half, this guy throws two interceptions that are so un-Russell Wilson-like that it was frustrating if you're a Steven Hauschka owner or a Marshawn Lynch owner, because it takes away. They were rolling. I mean, they were running in the first half. They were driving the field at will on the 49ers defense. And the second touchdown he threw was in double coverage. Listen, there isn't one wide receiver on that team that's worthy of passing to in double coverage. They don't have the type of wide receivers.
Tyler Lockett might give you a little bit of an argument there.
Well, an amazing play. He beat that one-on-one coverage for that touchdown. It was a great drawn-up play, and I felt like Russell Wilson could – I think he felt like he could keep going back to that, and that's just not his game, throwing downfield like that.
Yeah.
Run the ball, throw the short passes, you know, get at least get into field goal range.
And you feel like that's what that receiving corps kind of built for when you look at a guy like Jermaine Kearse, Doug Baldwin – Tyler Lockett, it fits Russell Wilson's kind of skill set. Why go away from that? So I see like your argument. He had 235 yards, one touchdown, two interceptions. You touched on those. 20 rush yards, 11 fantasy points. Last year, this guy was the third leading quarterback in terms of fantasy points for the season, and it's not panning out that way this year.
Well, you know what's funny that you say that is, while he's not the third highest scoring fantasy quarterback, he's the seventh so far this year, which I think is pretty phenomenal considering I think a lot of people are down on him because I think they're not seeing these high volume passing numbers and the touchdowns. But the thing that people have to remember is this guy can run the ball. He's first in rushing yards among quarterbacks with 271 rushing yards. So that is really propelling him. And that's the reason why he's in the top 10 right now. Because in terms of passing the ball, he hasn't been as good as he was last year.
I feel like a lot of it might have to do with the state of the quarterback play in the NFL as well. Like we touched on, the games are down. It seems like...
A lot of injuries.
No, exactly. So I feel like these are all contributing factors to the reason why he's in the top 10.
Right. He's tied for 14th with eight touchdown passes as well. Are you going to continue to roll with him? Are you going to look to trade him? If you're a Russell Wilson owner.
I got him in our Dirty Water News League.
Did you start him?
I did start him. Tyrod Taylor's questionable, so I kind of didn't have a choice.
Right.
No, for me, I'm going to look to see if I can move him at this point.
Yeah, I mean, if I'm a Russell Wilson owner, I'm not rushing to move him. You know, I think that he's going to and I don't want to say the word – I don't want to use the term turn it around because, again, he's the seventh highest scoring quarterback. But what you have to understand is, as a Russell Wilson owner, you're going to have these games where he has 11 fantasy points and he's going to come back the next week and score you 25. I mean, it's not as much he's a feast or famine quarterback. I think you can guarantee double digits from this guy every week, as you pretty much should from every quarterback, any quarterback you have in a 10-team league. I just think that, you know, if he had he's not really going to Jimmy Graham, and we're going to touch on Graham soon, but even you would think that he'd be throwing the ball at will to Jimmy Graham, you know, and he's not really doing that. So for Russell Wilson owners, I would hold on to him unless there's a trade that's so good you can't really pass up.
For me, though, I feel like he should have torched that secondary. Like they have a
and he was the first half. Right. And it's just
he should have had a better game last night.
I agree. Oh, I agree completely. But the other thing is that those two interceptions really hurt him because, again, they were going down the field. And those were opportunities to put more points on the board, which is something that they didn't have much trouble doing in the first half, but they definitely came out flat in the second. And if it weren't for their defense, I don't want to say they would have lost that game, but there's no reason why the San Francisco 49ers couldn't have come back in that game. Tyler Lockett is the man this week. 5 receptions, 79 yards, and a touchdown. My question that I'm posing to you, Rob, is who is the number one wide receiver in this offense?
It's such a muddled situation, and I kind of think it has to do with matchups at this point. I like Tyler Lockett, and I feel like he is the future in Seattle and at the wide receiver position, but I just don't know if like he can be relied on week to week at this point.
Him and Paul Richardson, as long as Richardson can get healthy, they could be the future at the wide receiver position. As it pertains to the core right now, Lockett's third on the team with 24 targets. So you know, and I don't think that targets is the end-all be-all of who is the number one wide receiver in the offense, but it's worth noting that Baldwin has 34 and Jermaine Kearse has 30. So you got three guys, 24, 34, and 30. That tells me that there's no true number one in this offense. He's just spreading the ball around to everybody.
Yeah.
And, you know, Baldwin's got 43 fantasy points. Jermaine Kearse has Kearse has 39 fantasy points. If I'm going to start any one of these guys, I'm probably going Kearse over Baldwin and Lockett. But again, to your point, it's going to be purely matchup based, and it's going to be tough to start these guys confidently on a week-to-week basis. So bye-week considerations in 12 and 14-team leagues, I think those are really the only situations where I can see myself starting one of these guys, unless they're going up against a defense that has trouble defending wide receivers.
Yeah, I'm in agreement in that. In terms of that, I feel like 12 to 14-team leagues make sense, bye-week replacement. They're in. This is a relatively usually a good offense, so it's something they... It's always good to have receivers and offenses like that, but if you can't rely on them week to week, it's better than taking someone from, say, like a Cleveland Brown. Well,
Benjamin. No, you're right. Outside of Travis Benjamin, yeah. I can agree with that. And at the wide receiver position, now listen, we're going to touch on him soon, but Gary Barnridge has been absolutely unbelievable, so you're probably starting those two guys every week.
Yeah.
But in terms of...
I felt like it was a bad comparison.
The reason why I don't think it's a bad comparison is because there's nobody else there other than them, and I would rather start these guys.
Yeah.
Any one of these guys, aside from those two guys in Cleveland. Jimmy Graham, still disappointing, I wrote. And I wrote it with a question mark. My answer is yes. I don't think, you know, and listen, nobody expected him to have an amazing year. You know, he's in an offense that is very geared towards the running back. So nobody expected him to put up the numbers he did in New Orleans. But even with this disappointment so far, he's only got two touchdowns. So, and that's with like a bunch of other tight ends in the league. And even with the down year he's having, he's still the sixth best tight end in fantasy this year. The tight end position is extremely... it's very top heavy.
Yeah, extremely top heavy. A lot of people are down on it going into the year. I kind of think the top's been better than what people expected. Jimmy Graham has fallen out of the top in terms of that, in terms of like tight ends. I just don't think you can consider him a top five, top three tight end in this league anymore based on the situation in Seattle. He had to be feeling some type of way with Ben Watson going off last Thursday night. Be interesting to see how that situation moves forward in New Orleans. But sticking on Jimmy Graham, two receptions, 31 yards. I don't know if you talked about there not being a guy that he could throw to downfield in this offense, and Jimmy Graham should be that guy.
Right.
And he's not, for whatever reason. Like that, I just don't know if they're not implementing him the correct way. The OC up there doesn't, like, know how to properly utilize him. I understand that it's a run-based offense, but you can get a lot out of a talent like Jimmy Graham. He's not done.
It's fascinating that you mention that. And to your point, and the reason why I say this is because it really shows you how good the wide receivers were in New Orleans those years. Because what I think is happening now is that defenses are focusing in on Jimmy Graham. Let Marshawn Lynch get his yards. You know, let Tyler Lockett catch a couple of balls. We're going to focus in on Jimmy Graham. We're going to take away arguably their best weapon.
And it could.
Go
I'm
ahead.
Sorry.
No, go ahead.
It could be Jimmy Graham. If you remember Aqib Talib when he came to Foxborough, shut him down. Like the way they're scheming against him, for whatever reason, Gronkowski can get off that line, and it doesn't seem like Jimmy Graham can get off press coverage. And that's what I think seems to be the issue. I think it could be a Jimmy Graham issue, but I just don't know why he can't get open for more than two passes in a game. It just doesn't make sense.
The name recognition is still there. So you can, in theory, you might be able to take him and a guy like who we're going to hit on next, Carlos Hyde, and maybe package them up to get like a Greg Olsen. Maybe you take those two and trade him for Barnridge, who's been, you know, lights out lately. Excuse me. So I still think the name recognition is there, and you can still get something for this guy in the right league. So it's definitely something worth monitoring. But if you're going to continue to stay with him from week to week, Rob, you want to have a solid group of running backs and wide receivers to pick up the slack on any points he doesn't score, because there's only so many weeks that you can handle only scoring 3 points out of your tight end position, two and a half points.
Yeah, you need to get better production. You need to throw out the lineup, but obviously tight end, it's an important position. Transitioning to Carlos Hyde, you just touched on him. San Francisco 49ers, who's worth owning in this offense?
Yeah, I mean, and this is the thing, is that while I think that Hyde and Kaepernick are certainly worth owning, it's one of those situations where they can't be counted on from week to week. In a 10-team league, somebody just traded Eddie Lacy for Odell Beckham, and it involved draft picks, and that's not the point. The point is that Carlos Hyde is now the number one running back in this guy's on this guy's team in my league. Now he has Odell Beckham, Julio Jones, you know, and Alshon Jeffrey. So he's got the best wide receiver core in the league, but at the same time, you're really missing a lot that you would have gotten from Eddie Lacy. It would have made you more balanced.
He's hoping that Hyde obviously turns it around.
Right. And it seems as though right now he's off to a tough start in terms of doing that. He does have a stress fracture in his foot. But, you know, to me, in terms of 10 and 12 team leagues, there's always value. And the higher the league, the more rare it is. But there's always value in the starting running back that gets the majority of the carries. You know, they're not really focusing Reggie Bush that much. He couldn't get things going when he started the season injured. So they're not really featuring him that much. They're really throwing, taking Kaepernick and saying, listen, throw the ball, run, you know, use your legs, do what you got to do. You know, he could be packaged, as I mentioned earlier, in a trade, maybe him and Jimmy Graham for another tight end or a running back, him and Lamar Miller. You take those two running backs and get a wide receiver and a running back.
I think I'd wait on Lamar Miller at this point. I just want to see how.
And that's the thing.
I think the new head coach Miami employs.
I think a lot of people are waiting on him, you know, in terms of
and
trading.
They've been waiting on him. So it's we're asking for a lot for you to keep waiting on Lamar Miller. But I think that this might be, with Philbin gone, this might be a good situation for Lamar Miller.
I mean, through the first week it is.
It seems like it would be after Tennessee.
So. Right. And it's interesting that we talk about Lamar Miller, because that same owner that traded Eddie Lacy has Carlos Hyde and Lamar Miller. He's counting on both of those guys to show up. And if they don't, you can have as good a wide receivers as you want. If those two guys don't show up, that's a power position.
Eddie Lacy hasn't
really
showed up, though, at this point.
He's had a couple good games. So do you think there's more upside with Eddie Lacy or with Carlos Hyde and Lamar Miller?
Oh, I might have went. Hyde and Lamar Miller seems all right to me.
Like, not the two of them together. I just mean, like, you know, the three of them. Who do you think has the highest upside? I guess is my question.
Right now, honestly, Lacy hasn't been the running back that people draft. His draft status would have kind of shown that he could be. Lamar Miller, which the stress fracture Carlos Hyde has, Lamar Miller seems like a pretty interesting option. Maybe that trade makes more sense in a couple weeks.
Right, and that's something that we're going to he'll have to look back on, you know what I mean? Because that was a landmark trade for him, just in the sense that he's given up his only consistent, what you would think would be consistent running back. And while he's had a tough go of it a few weeks, he's still the guy in that offense in the running game.
Far from consistent.
Right, but he's still the guy in that running game when healthy.
Yeah.
They're not taking him off the field that much to put on James Starks, other than when he's, you know, when he's dealing with an injury.
James Starks had a huge week last week.
And Lacy was dealing with a nagging injury.
Yeah.
So that's the type of thing that's what's going to happen. But I think that Lacy will be fine. I think the Packers are on a bye this week. But Lacy, I think, is a guy you can continue to roll going forward. I mean, listen, there are much worse running back situations in the league right now. So, all right. Colin Kaepernick, what is your take on Kaepernick? Because what's interesting is that I think a lot of, you know, he came out like gangbusters here. He is like the example of feast or famine.
If I was a San Francisco 49ers fan, I would not be afraid. I'd be looking for a quarterback change by the end of next season. As a fantasy football owner, Colin Kaepernick's probably good 10, maybe 12 to 14 team leagues, and then get during as a bye week replacement. I just don't see him as the starting quarterback for an NFL team at this point in his career. A quality start, he could be. He's a starting quarterback right now. I just don't think he's a very good starting quarterback, and I don't think he will be to finish out his career. I think he'll end up being a backup, it seems like, at this point.
Well, for fantasy purposes, I think that this is a guy I think he's a matchup play, and I think that, you know, I don't know if that's given him too much credit, but it seems as though he performs well against easy defenses that give up a lot of points to quarterbacks and wide receivers, but to stout defenses this year.
I don't even think you can count on that so far this year. He hasn't been the greatest.
I'm going to look it up right now.
He played all right versus Baltimore last week, but.
Yeah, let me talk amongst yourself.
Yeah, for me, I'm staying away from Colin Kaepernick.
You don't think he's a bye week replacement?
If I had to pick between Colin Kaepernick and Landry Jones, who's starting for Pittsburgh this week, I'm going Landry Jones.
So here's the thing.
And Colin Kaepernick's been a starting quarterback in this league for 4 years now.
It's clear looking at his numbers that he struggles against good defenses. So, you know, against Minnesota, he had 10 points. Against Arizona in week 3, he had 5 points. And against Green Bay in week 4, he had 10 points. And then the 4 points against Seattle. But against defenses
there's only been 7 games. That stat line's horrendous.
Right. And against defenses that have trouble against the pass, Pittsburgh, he had 26 points. New York Giants, he had 20 points. In Baltimore, he had 22. So he excels against defenses that have issues with defending the pass and defending a running quarterback. And
as I guess do most QBs in the league.
Well, it would seem as though the proof is in the pudding in terms of these stats in Colin Kaepernick. I think he's worth a spot start if your quarterback's on a bye, if he's playing Jacksonville, Cleveland. Now, if he's playing the New England Patriots, who have a physical defense, if he's playing Seattle like he played yesterday, any defense that's going to give him problems, any of the top defenses, it would say Buffalo, New York, the Jets, I don't think that he is going to have as much success as he will against defenses like Oakland. You know what I mean? I think Denver would beat him up, you know? So I think that depending on when your starting quarterback, Tom Brady, Aaron Rodgers, Andy Dalton, whoever you're starting, has a bye, I think he's a good bye week fill-in depending on the matchup. I think he's purely, and if those numbers don't tell you that he's purely matchup-based, you know, there aren't going to be many that do.
No, I'm with you. That's probably as clear and cut as it's going to get.
Absolutely. All right, everyone, we covered the Thursday night football, the amazingly interesting game. Why don't we hit on some injuries? Rob, let's hit what's the damage.
So, what's the damage?
Breaking news out of Foxborough this morning, and it's not the good kind, confirming our worst fears about tight end Rob Gronkowski. A source tells the Globe that he has a torn ACL and MCL on his right knee.
Casualty count.
Now Charles is down. He might have hurt his knee.
Just a terrible injury.
He's carted into the locker room, but it doesn't look good.
Grade 2 sprain to the MCL.
Now, midfoot sprain forced McFadden to miss most of Sunday's game against the Chiefs.
This is going to be the defense you're going to see this year.
Yeah, I was saying the front four was the starting front four.
Oh, big collision.
Redskins tight end Jordan Reed passes concussion protocol, and he should be ready to roll versus Tampa Bay.
I think it is an absolutely great start this week. That could be one of the games that the game flow, that game could be high scoring just because of Tampa Bay's secondary, how they do against tight ends. I think Kirk Cousins looks Jordan Reed's way. DeSean Jackson's coming back. Pierre Garçon's going to be there. I just think there could be a lot. It could be a high scoring game, and I think that Reed will be very active in that game.
So I'm going to say this. One, I am hot. I actually agree with you wholeheartedly. I think that if you're a lot of
agreement today.
Well, yeah, but here's the thing. And this is why I do agree with you about Jordan Reed. I'm starting him in a 10-team league. He is one of the focal points of that offense when Kirk Cousins is playing. And with or without DeSean Jackson, he looks Jordan Reed's way. Now, you would look at Tampa Bay and you would think that they're a good matchup. But here's the thing. They're a top five defense in points allowed versus the tight end position. They only average 5 fantasy points per week against the tight end position. I think they're 5th in the league and giving up the least amount of points. But if you look at the competition that they've played over the course of the first 5 weeks, I think they had a bye week 6. But if you look at the competition they've played, Tennessee and Delaney Walker, he scored a touchdown, 43 yards and a touchdown in week 1. And then they played New Orleans and Houston in weeks 2 and 3. What tight ends are on those teams? Carolina, they held Greg Olsen to 6 targets for 28 yards. So that's really fascinating that they were able to hold Olsen to those numbers. And then Julius Thomas in Jacksonville the next week, 20 yards receiving. And I think that's
first game back for Thomas.
So I was going to say that. That's a tight end that's getting used to the offense and trying to figure out what their game plan is from week to week. I still believe Reed is on the tight end radar, considering Cousins loves him. He had 34 targets in the first 4 games. He missed the last 2 with the concussion. That's 3 less than the second highest targeted wide receiver, which is Jamison Crowder. So he's missed games, and he's still the second highest, the second on the team in targets, which is fascinating to me, is that there are guys like Jamison Crowder that have played the whole season, and they still don't have as many targets as Jordan Reed. So that tells me that Kirk Cousins absolutely loves this guy, and I think that you can fire him up as a tight end 1 in 10-team leagues.
Yeah, for me, it's basically the same thing. I know that Cousins looks his way, and for me, that's all I need to know. He's a target monster in Kirk Cousins' run offenses, and he's going to get the ball. So I feel the way that this game is trending, that there's going to be opportunity for him. So I think he's a great start.
I agree. I just thought of this. I want you to touch on this. We have talked about over the course of the past few months doing this show together, some of the best months of my life. And
I bet they are.
And we've talked, you said that what you like to do, you're and it's not that I think you're wrong. I just want to know what you're thinking is in terms of this situation. You like to target players that are in high-powered offenses. There's nothing about Washington that's high-powered, but the reason why we like guys like this is because they're going to get the majority of the targets in the offense.
Yeah, no, that's basically... And I think that Tampa Bay secondary, I know that you touched on that they do well against tight ends. I think they struggle in terms of the secondary, so maybe if they try to scheme towards doubling a guy like DeSean Jackson, who's back, or Garcon, I don't know why they would do that, but just if they did...
DeSean's out for the game, but Pierre, yeah, they'll target...
No, DeSean's back. DeSean's back
gonna
this play? Week.
Yeah,
he's
going to play, okay. I don't have him on my injury
list.
Yeah,
he's coming back okay. this week. Pretty positive. If he's back, then I don't know. It's just another option for Cousins, and Cousins likes to go his way, so it makes sense.
Yeah, focus attention on the wide receivers and maybe a little bit less. Because I'll tell you, at full bore, this offense, when they have everyone healthy, they can put up some points.
Yeah.
You know,
like
I think
you
it's,
said, they haven't played any good tight ends.
Right.
Well, they had, like,
I mean, Olsen and Delanie Walker. And it's fascinating that Delanie Walker has the only touchdown that they've given up. Going to Kansas City, Jeremy Maclin is expected to play this week. He's still working and expected to gain clearance from a concussion, so he hasn't been cleared just yet. But today's practice is going to determine a lot in terms of if he's going to play this week. Against Pittsburgh, they give up the 12th most fantasy points to the wide receiver position in the league. I think you can fire this guy up as a wide receiver, low-end wide receiver one, high-end wide receiver two, and he's the 20th highest-scoring wide receiver in fantasy, which I think is, to me, it's fascinating considering the offense that are in and how they don't feature the wide receiver that much.
Yeah, with Jamal Charles, who's now down, Macklin's role is going to obviously increase, being that he is one of the better players in this league, in that offense, not this league, I'm sorry. He's a good player. I wouldn't say he's a good player. But anyways, with Jamal Charles out, I think his targets will increase, his role in the offense will increase, and his fantasy points will increase.
Going to Baltimore, Justin Forsett is completely absent from the Ravens injury report this week. He seems to be over his ankle injury, which is good news for me because I own him in our 10-team Dirty Water News Fantasy Football League.
Because of me.
Yeah, because of you, and I was absolutely kicking myself for grabbing him the first 3 weeks or so of the season. The 11th best running back in fantasy. He started the season off slow, as I mentioned, but he's had double-digit scoring the last 3 weeks. He's 7th in receptions for running backs as well. So PPR, this guy is a PPR. He's a monster.
You trust him versus Arizona, though?
You kind of have to. I mean, for fantasy owners, what are your other options?
Yeah, what are your other... No, it makes sense.
You know, you drafted him in, what, the 3rd or 4th round, maybe the 5th if you were lucky in a 10-team league, which I don't think he was going that low. You really don't have many options other than that.
He seemed to have turned it around, so I understand, like, yeah, you have to stick with him, I guess.
Yeah, and you know, and just because, like I said, he's going to, if he doesn't run the ball well, he'll at least catch some passes. So in PPR leagues, he's far more valuable. You got to fire him up, absolutely. He's a low-end running back one. You know, I think that Arizona's been deceptively bad against the against running backs. You know, I don't think that their defense has been all that stout against running backs. We can look it up, but
Arizona pretty tough versus pass-catching running backs, 13th in the NFL.
I think there's something to be said to the idea that if Arizona, because listen, Baltimore's defense isn't good, so Arizona's going to be thrown all over them. So if they're down by a lot of points early on, it wouldn't surprise me if they just they keep Forsett in the game and dump passes, just keep dumping the ball off to him, you know. And the reason why I say that is because when you're down by that much, you're just going to be throwing, you know. So if they're down by a lot early on, you could see a lot of Justin Forsett. In terms of giving up fantasy points to running backs, the Arizona Cardinals are at the bottom of the league in terms of they give up the least amount, but they still give up 14 fantasy points a game to the running back position. That's an average. They've given up so far this season 64 fantasy points to the running back position. So it's definitely going to be interesting. I think you got to fire him up regardless.
You don't have a choice.
In San Diego, Keenan Allen hasn't practiced yet this week, but there is optimism within San Diego that he's going to go after suffering a hip injury. His practice status Friday is worth monitoring.
Huge week last week, Keenan Allen. He's going up against a shaky Oakland Raiders secondary. I think Phil Rivers is in line for a big week, so I would expect Keenan Allen or Antonio Gates to also, one of the two, be in line for a big week. The trouble is kind of figuring out who it's going to be, but obviously I think he's a great start. If I would have... I,
He seems like a great stud. It looks like a good matchup.
Just trailing off. What do you think about Ladarius Green?
I like him.
This week.
I like him. Gates is questionable as of right now. So Ladarius Green is...
I mean, Gates should go.
Gates will go.
Oakland Raiders give up the most fantasy points to the tight end position. So I think that this is absolutely a situation where you should be...
Leaning towards Gates.
No, I mean, yeah, you want to start Gates, but they get both of these guys involved. And especially if Stevie Johnson sits, that's another target that Phillip Rivers doesn't have. So Ladarius Green is going to play. I just think it's a matter of how much... I mean, he had a touchdown last week. This team, this Oakland Raiders defense is god-awful against the tight end. So just looking at the stats, there's no reason why Ladarius Green shouldn't get his share.
Yeah, for me, are you talking about they get both Ladarius Green and Gates involved? Or
I
Gates
think they will.
Gates and Keenan Allen.
Well, we kind of trailed off. We mentioned Ladarius Green. Yeah. We're talking about Keenan Allen, though. So in terms of Keenan Allen, the sixth best wide receiver with 76 fantasy points, which is fascinating to me because I think he started off the year kind of slow, but he's rounded into midseason form. He's the fourth in targets, and he's a go. Wide receiver one against Oakland this week,
no doubt.
A weird situation in Buffalo. Wide receiver Percy Harvin didn't travel with the team to London this week to take on Jacksonville. Rex Ryan says it's for personal reasons. A source close to Harvin says it's because of his health, and Roto World hints that it could be a contract dispute.
Percy Harvin is a weird guy. This is another weird situation in the career of Percy Harvin. I read that it was a hip and knee injury and that he was contemplating retirement. I don't know. I just don't know. He's such a head case, man.
And that's the problem. And this is why I don't think he's startable in 10-team leagues. There's a lot of 10-team leagues.
Well, he's not in England, so yeah, he's not.
No. I mean in general.
In general.
I know he's not playing this week. I mean in general. I'm not touching this guy.
Yeah.
One double-digit week. So far this season. So, and especially with EJ Manuel, if he keeps starting games, let's say Percy Harvin comes back next week, I'm still not starting him, even especially if EJ Manuel's playing. You see Tyrod Taylor go towards this guy. But the problem is, like you said, the guy's such a head case, you can't rely on him from game to game.
Yeah, his team can't rely. It's just like Robert Woods should be, I think Sammy Watkins is out, Robert Woods, Chris Hogan, they should be good options, bye week replacements, 12 to 14 team leagues.
I think the Jacksonville defense is going to look really good this week for some reason.
I think there's a lot of value in a guy like Robert Woods this week. I really do.
Just based on the fact that there's so many guys out
so
on
many
that
guys,
wide receiving
No court. One's there, you know.
Charles Clay as well, he could see a lot of time. Going back to San Diego, Stevie Johnson remained limited in Thursday's practice, though he is on track to return versus Oakland this week. Now, and this is the qualm that I have. This is the worry I have if I'm a Stevie Johnson owner and I have another wide receiver with a not as good matchup. Are you starting, like, let's say I have Julian Edelman against the Jets. Now I'm starting Julian Edelman, but I'm just talking about a wide receiver with a tough matchup versus another wide receiver with what appears to be an easy matchup.
You better be starting Julian Edelman.
Now, if you're a Stevie Johnson owner, is he worth looking at in terms of a flex play?
Yeah. For going up against the Raiders, he is. Another thing is you have to take into consideration, he's coming off an injury, though. So it kind of, for me, it's kind of a questionable call. It depends who I have on my bench, you know. He's got a great matchup, but I might wait a little bit. I know he's not Alshon Jeffrey. Like, I don't think he's going to come in and be a like world burner his first week back. You know what I mean? So,
well, he's definitely not Alshon. But in terms of Stevie Johnson, if you're 1-4 or 1-5 and you're looking for that spark, I mean, do you make that decision?
This week I make the decision because I don't think there's going to be a ton of points scored throughout all the games. So I think that if you can find value in one, and it seems like that the game flow in that game is going to be geared towards high scoring, especially in the case of San Diego, probably a lot of throwing because the secondary is pretty bad. Oakland's rush defense isn't terrible. So I feel like, yeah, Stevie Johnson's a good option, and I would, if I had to start him as a flex play, I didn't have any other option, I'd start him.
What's interesting is that Oakland is in the top half of the league in the least amount of fantasy points given up to wide receivers. To me, that's crazy because you look at Oakland's defense and you say they get thrown on all the time, but they're in the top half of the league with the least amount of fantasy, they give up the least amount of fantasy points to the wide receiver position. I'm staying away from Stevie Johnson ultimately this week. I think it's an interesting question, and I think this Sunday we're going to be getting a lot of questions on Stevie Johnson just because of the fact people look at Oakland, they see how bad they are, but Oakland actually their offense is pretty good, and their defense is coming together a little bit. I mean, I think that, you know, Oakland certainly has its troubles. I don't think that their cornerbacks are all that good. I think their linebackers have their issues. Khalil Mack is an absolute beast. But other than that, they don't have a ton of guys. So if I'm a Stevie Johnson, we spent way too long talking about Stevie Johnson, but I think that, you know, you probably want to stay away from him this week. In Detroit, Theo Riddick, as of Thursday, remained limited in practice. He should play Sunday, though the workload, to me, is in question because of his injury. So is Theo Riddick startable in 10-team standard leagues?
Well, the workload's in question also because of the running backs that they have in that offense. Joik Bell, I don't know if he's playing. He's probably not, but
we can look
Abdullah
it up.
Is playing.
They're phasing Joik Bell out of this offense, it seems.
Yeah.
Theo Riddick is getting more and more involved every week.
It seems like that would be the case. He had 10 targets 2 weeks ago. Stafford likes him. I think Amir Abdullah is the guy that they want to see be the lead back in this offense, so it's kind of... But I think, yeah, Riddick, if in a I wouldn't start him in a 10-team, but 12 to 14, probably.
I'd probably start him in a 10-team PPR league.
Okay.
Not a 10-team standard. I agree with you on that. In terms of Joik Bell, he was downgraded to limited on Thursday. He's expected to return this week, but the limited designation to me isn't a good sign. So it could be possible that Joik Bell just pushed himself too hard in Wednesday's practice. He could return, but again, it's not a guarantee. So if Bell... Whether Joik Bell is active or not, I may be looking at Theo Riddick to play or start him in a PPR league for sure. He's first in the league in receptions for running back. So 33 receptions. Matt Stafford is just the check down king this year, it seems. Just throwing those short passes. And it would seem as though that is a situation in Detroit. Browns breakout tight end Gary Barnidge was upgraded to full on Thursday's practice.
Yeah, Gary Barnidge, he's back. Honestly, Josh McCown throwing to Barnidge, it's been good. St. Louis Rams haven't been the greatest versus tight ends and quarterback tight end tandems, for that matter. It seems like the defense, he's going to have to throw at some point in this game because I feel like they will be down versus St. Louis at home. And I think that Barnidge is the guy that's going to be looked to be. He's going to be the guy there. I think Benjamin's going to struggle with Janoris Jenkins, so it'll probably be Barnidge to go that you should.
Absolutely. He's had double digits the last 4 weeks. Now, if that's not consistent, I don't know what is. He's the second best tight end in the league behind Gronk right now in terms of scoring, but that's not saying much considering the tight end position is so top heavy, as we alluded to. Eric Decker was downgraded to limited with a knee injury Thursday. I think it could be the Jets. They're just making sure he's going to be good to go on Sunday, and he should be. New England gives up the seventh most fantasy points to the wide receiver position, so I'm going to fire him up as a low-end wide receiver one, high-end two.
I think Decker has a huge week. I think that they'll be throwing because the Patriots will be ahead, and I think they can probably put the brakes to Brandon Marshall, but I don't think they can stop both of them. I think Fitzpatrick, even though he isn't the greatest quarterback, he can get the ball to his receivers, and I think he'll get it to Decker.
Speaking of Brandon Marshall, he showed up on the injury report with a calf issue, but ESPN New York thinks it's just cautiousness with him, similar to what Eric Decker, his designation. Fitzpatrick loves Brandon Marshall, so Friday's practice, to me, is going to tell you a lot about his availability. So today's practice, he missed week 5, but in weeks 1 to 4 and week 6, he was a steady Eddie. This guy had double-digit scoring in every one of those weeks. He hasn't shown any fall-off since the trade in the offseason.
I love him. I think that my issue is Belichick does a real good job of taking away a team's number one option. I think he could torch Malcolm Butler. I feel like that is a very good possibility, but I feel if they double-team him, they triple-team him, whatever they do to take him away, then it's kind of they'll throw to Decker. You know, that's why I think Decker for the value is probably the better play this week.
I'm going to touch on that, who I think the Pats are going to target in our next segment. Continuing on with our last bit for injuries, early season stud Austin Seferian Jenkins remained sidelined Thursday with the shoulder injury he sustained a few weeks ago. He's considered out for this week, but he could return in week 8. You know, in terms of Austin Seferian Jenkins, the quarterback loves him. It seems as though tight ends this year for rookie quarterbacks are the security blanket.
Yeah, tight ends, I feel like that's been the case for a while. It's not a long throw. It's usually between the hashes. It seems like it's that's where young quarterbacks go when they don't they struggle with the defenses. They're going up. It's just the matchups. It's a lot better throwing a tight end than a wide receiver.
I think he's worth stashing in 12-team leagues for those of you that are in standard and PPR leagues a week early, considering how much Winston looked to him early on. 10 targets in 2 weeks. He left week two early with a shoulder issue. In the same span, only Vincent Jackson had more targets. Mike Evans was out in week one. So for that team, Vincent Jackson was the only wide receiver, the only pass catcher that had more targets than Austin Seferian Jenkins.
Yeah, Jenkins is a good play. Evans was out 2 weeks, so that might have a lot to do with it. He did still look to him when Evans got back, but Evans hadn't been totally integrated into the offense. They're coming off a bye now, so Evans is probably... He's going to score... I feel like Evans is getting a touchdown this week. He hasn't scored all season, so it's coming. For Austin Seferian Jenkins, when he gets back, I think... Evans will be more integrated in the offense. I don't know if he's still going to be that guy who's going to get all those targets.
15 minutes left, which is plenty of time for us to get into the players to watch. And I got a couple here that I'm interested I want to touch on. First, Chris Ivory. I think that he is a guy that you should be firing up in all formats. And what I alluded to earlier, I'm going to say now, is that I think the New England defense is going to target this guy. I think they're going to aim to stop him before they're going to aim to stop a guy like Brandon Marshall. Now, it still remains to be seen. It would seem as though the status on linebacker Dont'a Hightower is in question. As far as I knew, in Jabal Sheard, it looks like he might not go. He's been out the past few practices. So if those two guys are out, you're talking about, you know, decently big parts of that offense. You saw what Frank Gore did to them last week without Dont'a Hightower. So... And that's Frank Gore. I think that Chris Ivory has the potential to put up 20 points on this defense.
I feel like the Pats, if they get a quick lead, they usually kind of trick the other team into running the ball and letting them think that they're successful. And so that will work in the favor of a guy like Chris Ivory. But it's very interesting because teams end up running out the clock on themselves because you can't just be every time you run the football, you're running the clock out.
Right.
So it's just like... If the Pats are down, it's all dependent on the game flow, I feel like. But Ivory, I see him having a big week this week as well. You keying in on Ivory, I thought it would be Marshall, but Ivory would be the guy that it would make the most sense.
They're very run centric, that offense, you know. And I think you leave Butler on Marshall and let him do his thing. There was a meme that was recently put out that all of the touchdowns Butler has given up to the four wide receivers he had played to that point, his hands were right on the ball. I mean, they were right there. So that's telling me, and it's not just the meme, it's watching the games, it's telling me that Butler is, I mean, he's a good cornerback, and he stays on his guys.
I think he is, too.
I think that Marshall could have his issues with Butler alone, so I think you want to focus in on the running back. I mean, it's certainly possible.
The size difference scares me, because Marshall's 6'5", and you have Butler's 5'10".
That's
so
true
just
as
like,
well. Right. The second stringer, Bilal Powell, is dealing with an injury. So Ivory missed week three, and he had a bye in week five. But he's had 20-plus points in week four and six. So this guy's riding it. And their mojo is going there in New York. You know, so I think they're going to continue to run the ball, and that defense is solid as well. I think this is going to be a closer game. They usually are, division games. It's going to be a closer game than what people think. Another running back I love is Latavius Murray, playing in San Diego. And a lot of people... you know, would look at the Chargers and might think about sitting Latavius. He's an automatic RB1 this week. They surrender the most fantasy points to running backs in the league. 26-point average they give up against running backs. So Latavius Murray has an opportunity to have a huge week. He's a must-start in 10-team leagues, 12-team leagues. He should eclipse the 13 and 15 carry total he had the past 2 weeks, respectively. I don't see a reason for Oakland to not feature this guy. The one game they did feature him, he had 26 carries. Had a great game. I think it was 18 fantasy points and a win. If you can get the running game going, it opens things up magically for the passing. And that could absolutely happen in this game against San Diego, and Oakland could actually win this game outright.
Yeah, I love Oakland. I've loved the offense all year long. My issue with Latavius Murray is he's had some games where he's had a couple mental mistakes that kind of landed him in the doghouse in terms of the Oakland head coaching staff and stuff like that.
Right, fumbles.
Fumbles versus Chicago, very costly one. Ended up finding himself on the bench. They had a bye last week.
Jack Del Rio will tell you that he wasn't in the doghouse, though, even though it seems as though he was.
It seemed like he was in the doghouse. You're out of the game at that point where it's such a...
Close game.
Like, you're needed. Need that win, you're needed, and you're not playing, you're in the doghouse.
Right.
He's a great running back, like you said. San Diego giving up 26 points. I love him as a running back one this week as well.
Are you coming around on Latavius? Because I know you were a little
I'm
bullish.
I'm coming around a little.
Beginning of the
I
year.
Was a little bullish.
Now you have a couple players that you're. I have a couple more as well. But do you have some players that you're interested in this week in terms of production?
I love Todd Gurley at the running back position. I think you kind of called it at the beginning of the year. Like they're rolling with Todd Gurley at this point.
What'd I tell
and he's
you,
going
baby.
Up against Cleveland. And it's a great matchup for him, and I think he could end up being a top five running back by the end of the season. I think he will be, to be honest. And he's I stashed him. I have him. He's not in a couple of my leagues. Thanks to you.
Well, you're welcome.
Yeah, he's just good to roll with this week. Definitely.
What I'll say about this is. I know my St. Louis running backs. That's one thing I know. Todd Gurley's played three games, weeks 3, 4, and 5 here, and he's had double digits in the last two he's played. So week 4 against Arizona, gashed them for 16 fantasy points, and week 5 against Green Bay, gashed them as well for almost 16 fantasy points. So this is a guy you want to continue to roll with as an RB1. I mean, Cleveland's defense is nothing to home write about it in terms of overall.
Right home about.
That's my saying. That's my style, so try not to take it like you did my Todd Gurley pick. But in terms of Gurley, Cleveland's defense was good a couple of years ago. It seems as though they've fallen off a bit. You're going to want to keep running Gurley because the more successful he is, that's just going to help. And this is actually a great segue. It's only going to help Nick Foles, who I have down here as a guy to start. Because of you have Aaron Rodgers, you have Peyton Manning on bye. You're looking for a guy in a 12-team league, which is what I was doing, and I picked up Nick Foles. Cleveland gives up the 13th most fantasy points to the quarterback position, and so anything over 15 fantasy points, I'll take from Nick Foles. Dalton is also on a bye week, so you got Dalton, A-Rod, and Manning. Those are three guys that you've been starting every single week.
Low scoring week, fantasy. I'm telling you, it's coming.
I think Nick Foles can be that guy that can get you 15 to 18 fantasy points. He's had 18 fantasy points versus Arizona and 1 versus Green Bay. So what that tells me is that he's extremely hit or miss.
Yeah.
And hopefully this week he has hit. 3 of the 5 weeks he's had double-digit production. So there isn't much more you can ask for from your bye-week fill-in quarterback. So
should be a
high-scoring
game. I feel like a lot of people think this is going to be a low-scoring game because of the teams. But I think that this game, because of McCown can throw the ball. Like, Cleveland's offense isn't bad.
Really good. I mean, yeah. Look at what they did to Denver. They put up a big amount of points on Denver, almost won the game.
Yeah, I'm going Landry Jones at the quarterback position. Hit 168 yards, 2 TDs to Martavis Bryant. Landry Jones.
Can we touch on this?
I don't know why. Ready. I'm buying the hype with Landry Jones.
That's
going
fine.
Up against the worst pass, one of the worst pass defenses in the league.
What,
KC.
Landry
Jones should have been starting for this team over Michael Vick. Vick is not.
Well, hold on. Let me finish.
Okay.
What's your deal here with Pittsburgh quarterbacks? He went into the season.
Look who he's throwing to.
Well, listen. Right. So you went into the season, loved you some Ben Roethlisberger, and fair enough. A lot of people did. I'm not going to fault you for that.
He got hurt. If he didn't get hurt, he'd be fine. Ben Roethlisberger had back-to-back games last year of throwing 7 touchdowns. He's a good quarterback. It's why can't I like Ben Roethlisberger?
No. Again, nobody's faulting you for that. Then your boy Mike Vick gets a start. And as I recall in the last show.
But can I explain to you what I said to Mike Vick? And this is true because he threw a touchdown to Terrence Wheaton. He can't throw. He can throw downfield. He can't throw accurately downfield. So a guy like and it showed. He ended up throwing a bomb in that game 2 weeks ago to Terrence versus San Diego to Terrence Wheaton. He could not hit Antonio Brown, like I said, to save his life. And I made that very clear. I didn't think Antonio Brown was worth the start.
And we may have to go back and check tape, but
we better check tape because that's exactly what I said. And I've had the same philosophy towards that for the last week. I wasn't here, obviously, but.
We don't need to check tape on what you said, which was you believe that Michael Vick was a starter in a 10-team fantasy league. So
I might have said that because I...
Oh, well, I know you said it. We listed off 10 quarterbacks that we liked more, and you said you would start him in a 10-team league.
I did say that, yep.
So is it time to eat some crow on that?
I'll eat the crow.
I wish I had a drop for that, but I remember that because my friends continue to tell me, your co-host said that Mike Vick is a starter in a 10-team league. I said, yeah,
I thought the offense makes sense. Like it honestly made sense. And I don't know.
Listen, there's only $1 million man here. Okay. And that's one thing that you can
tell your friends that
hold you. There's one thing you can hold you. He's so mad. There's one thing you can hold your hat on is the fact that you've won that million and you, big swing and a miss on Mike Vick. But listen, we can't all get him right.
No, we can't get him right.
I've been wrong before as well. So, going to the tight end position, Travis Kelce against the Steelers. I think he could have his best week of the year this week against the defense. These guys can't cover tight ends. They give up the second most fantasy points to that position. I think that there's going to be an
Shazier's back, though.
And now here's the thing. I think there's going to be an emphasis on passing the ball in Kansas City. So there's going to be an emphasis on passing the ball in Kansas City, and I think that that's going to allow Alex Smith to find guys like Kelce.
That phone goes off one more time, giving you a wedgie, because I know you'd be giving.
texting my cousin right now. I'm in a show.
No, it's all right. It's all right. No, I like to play with Kelce. For me, we hit on Jordan Reed. I'm going to stick with Jordan Reed as my tight end. Feels like a good play going up against the Bucs. I know that they cover tight ends pretty well.
No, but we both said that we like Jordan Reed. Yeah. So. Again,
Charles Clay is also another one that at the tight end position who I really like this week.
Charles Clay. Yeah. And again, now this is the last one I have written down. If you want to know who I like for kickers, Chandler Catanzaro against Baltimore, because Baltimore gives up the most points to the kicker position.
All right.
Now, did you have any other players that you were looking at? We got 5 minutes left.
Fitzgerald, John Brown on Monday night going up against Baltimore. I think that they both have good matchups. Palmer is one of the highest, like top five quarterback right now. Fantasy points is going to get the ball out to them. If you have them, start them. Makes obvious sense. It's Larry Fitzgerald.
Now, John Brown tightened up his hamstring in practice.
Oh, he's playing.
So that's it. He's playing.
I think he's playing. I read the report too. I think he's gonna. He's gonna go.
Yeah, I don't. I'm not really.
Crow next week if he doesn't play. He's playing. You get an extra day Monday night.
I don't think it's a matter of if he's gonna play. I do think he's gonna play as well, but I think it's a situation where he may not get a ton of playing time. That's the one thing I'm worried about.
If he doesn't play, better for Fitzgerald, Michael Floyd owners, I guess.
Fair enough. All right, everyone, that is it for the show. Thank you so much for listening. Hopefully we'll be back next week. I am your host, Nick Lessigore. Again, follow me on Twitter, at Nick Lessigore.
At Bobby Gomes, DFS.
Rob.
Yeah, thanks. It was a pleasure. Good show today.
Thanks, bud.
Yeah.
That smile, you're killing it.
Yeah.
Awesome stuff.
Yeah. This was good. I'm glad to be back.
Still as awkward as ever.
All right.
Adios.
Adios, guys.